Now, looking at the idea of using this technology with virtual reality and medical research, interactive virtual reality sets, they've been around for a little bit of a while, and the idea behind them has been around for a little bit of a while and used for, well, they've been used for games, they've been used for documentaries, they've been put to various purposes. But what made the researchers of this project decide to utilize 3D interactivity for medical research?
Look, that's a really great question. You know, a gaming technology has been around a fair bit, and also virtual reality gaming technology. But really, for the first time, my collaborator, Professor John McGee at the University of New South Wales, who's actually someone who works on this, rendering images in a way that biologists, scientists and doctors can actually visualise their data in a way they never could. So what's unique about what we're doing here is we're actually using real data that then gets incorporated into the virtual reality. So a lot of people don't realise often when they see some graphic images, say of a cell moving or a blood vessel or things like that and blood going through it, that it's actually a created image, you know, created by graphic artists through descriptions by scientists and what that data should look like. While what we're doing that's very different is we're capturing this very high resolution data on microscopes and other imaging equipment and being able to then give it to Professor John McGee, who then puts it in that virtual reality format in real life size images. Does that make sense? So the proportion of something you might see in a cell is proportional to another component in that cell because you're collecting real data to measure it.
That actually would be the part of this project that intrigues me the most, Maria, because as you mentioned there, most of the time when we're looking at something for virtual reality, it's pre-rendered, it's something that's been created, as you mentioned there, by graphic artists and the like. But these are individual scans. This is specific to each individual patient, these scans being created of their very real medical data.
That's exactly right. So you can imagine that, you know, when people go for magnetic resonance imaging, an MRI scan, often, you know, there's multiple, well, you don't really slice the patient, but you slice it, that patient virtually by taking multiple images. So that's a very rich source of data that can actually be used in this type of virtual reality format, for example. So say someone has a tumour, you can detect on the MRI. The idea is that in the future, say that you could have a doctor-patient interaction where the doctor can take them through this journey. Both of them can be on headsets, for example, and take them through the body, show them where the problem is with their disease, discuss therapeutic options, and even later on look at how that tumour is responding based, again, on some of their scans. So in many ways, it empowers the patient to better understand their disease and engage with them in what's happening.
That would be my next question. Looking at the main benefits of this kind of technology, is the main benefit to communicate these kind of, the kind of issues that they might be facing to the patient, or are there significant benefits for researchers and doctors as well?
I think it's both. So I think there's the educational and communication aspect that I think for doctors, but there's also a large research component to this project as well that we're working on. So one of the projects, for example, we're working on is actually looking at the structure both externally and internally to cancer cells and looking at all the components. It's quite a complicated machine, an individual cell, that then goes on to multiple cells make up the human body. So being able to understand how those components fit together, how they interact and how they move is giving us new insight because usually when we take microscope images, you know, they're usually static. We'll see them on a computer screen. We might be able to render some components in 3D, but really it's very hard for us to get a good sense of where all the components fit together. And what happens when you treat a tumour cell, for example, what happens to those components? What happens to those components when a tumour is not responding to therapy? Now, for the very first time, we can travel inside a cell, literally, and manoeuvre around, and we can do this with other researchers who are on headsets. So you can imagine that I might be talking to an expert on one aspect of the cell across the world who's on a headset looking at my data while I'm looking at that data, and while one of my students is looking at that data. And we can travel through that cell together. So when I bring it back to the gaming technology, you know, when people put themselves as almost like avatars in a game, it's a similar concept, except that we're actually interacting with our data in a way we never could before.
And looking at the applicability of this technology, I would imagine certainly the description of the process right now sounds to me rather intensive, rather time-consuming to actually create the kind of scans that we would be looking at in virtual reality from the real data. So looking at the applicability for the wider community, how would it be rolled out to regular patients in hospitals, or particularly, I suppose, those that are fighting the kind of tumours or diseases that would be most useful to visualise?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. We've had this discussion recently, and the technology is advancing so rapidly that, you know, we can envisage that within 3 to 5 years, this type of technology, you won't need, say, a scientist like John McGee to be standing there doing each individual patient. Rendition, because we're actually creating software where we can then get to the point where you can just integrate that data into that software, and it spits out the virtual images that you need and the virtual reality that you need. And that's what our vision is to get to, that it does become something that is accessible and available to, you know, quite easily to patients and doctors.
And just finally, are there any actual concerns regarding these scans, and particularly, as you mentioned there, the sort of, the fact that they are available and should be widely available, are there any concerns about, the kind of data, the medical data that's actually involved with creating one of these scans and privacy and the like?
Yeah, no, look, absolutely. And I think with any patient data, it would fit under all the legislation and Privacy Act of that data. So currently, any data we use is taken by any permission from patients to be able to use that. So we have ethical guidelines around that and ethical approvals that we use. But down the track, that data won't be available, for example, to just anyone. It will be like you would imagine it would be part of the patient's medical records, which currently are secure and within the hospital system or the medical system. So they won't be out on the web being freely available, if that makes sense.
Well, Maria, it sounds like fascinating technology. It really does. I really appreciate your time having a bit of a chat with us about it this morning.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for your time.